Reading tonight is from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here where you see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thanks be to God for his word to us.
We read now from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, at verse 26, Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Amen.
And we sing hymn number 200. All of us live through times of difficulty, don't we? We have times when what you call life is ordinary and things seem to be going on fairly normally. But sometimes we don't always stop to give thanks that life is what you call fairly normal, and suddenly things come along to stop us in our tracks. And we say, how are we going to face up to this particular problem, this particular difficulty which we're facing? I suppose we can all think of times if we've either our car's broken down or an appliance has broken down, we've picked up the phone, and aren't we glad when someone has come alongside us to help us, to talk us through a difficulty? Sometimes we may pick up an instruction book and think, how are we going to mend this particular appliance? What do we do? How do we operate it? If it's something new, it all looks good, but how do we operate it? We don't know which button to press first, and we get out the instruction book, and we seem to find every language around except English, don't we? And eventually, about half a dozen columns along, we eventually come across to the English translation. At least we're given help, aren't we, to know how to work a particular alliance. And then we have to call on an expert who really does know what they're talking about. And aren't we relieved when something which has broken down is now being made new again and working along quite nicely and doing its particular job. We all like to be helped practically as well as spiritually, don't we, when all the ordinary things of life seems to go along around us. It's always good, isn't it, as we just mentioned, when somebody comes along to help us and point us in the right direction. I suppose we can all think of times, as we just mentioned, when we have made steps to call on somebody to come to our help, or when we ourselves have come across someone else in need and they don't know who to turn to, and they give us a look and think, oh, this person can help us. It's obviously a two-way process. We have to give and receive help very often at the same time. Our prayers and our gifts and our general help to one another, a kindly word, just being ourselves in times of great need, can be a means of easing many, many particular problems, can't they? Jesus encountered many problems during his 3-year earthly ministry, didn't he? When people misunderstood him. But Jesus himself came alongside people in their need, and he helped them in their difficult situation with his miracles, with his powerful preaching, and with his prayers. But Jesus himself needed help, didn't he, with his support group, people who were to feed him and to urge him along and give him the worldly encouragement, a human as each and every one of us. He needed people to be alongside him and help him continue his journey, which God was in control and God would plan for him to follow. Very often when we are in the company of someone we're receiving help from or we're offering help to others, many conversations can result. And these can be enhancing experiences indeed, learning experiences and times of great satisfaction and strengthening of fellowship and understanding of one another. I want us to think of two people who had conversations with Jesus when they were perplexed. Well, one who had a direct conversation with Jesus, and a little bit later we shall think about the one who talked with one of the apostles. We read, didn't we, from Thomas, this man who had difficulty in believing, often referred to as the doubting Thomas. And this was a peaceful and a reassuring occasion of this conversation which he had with Jesus following the resurrection. When he said, I will not believe unless I see those nail marks in his hands and his side. I will not believe that he has been raised from the dead. And Jesus came from behind locked doors and was alongside Thomas in his apparent unbelief. And even though Thomas was bewildered, he was absolutely astonished and taken back by this encounter he was having with the risen Jesus. And he just said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus came with the Hebrew shalom, the peace. He just said, peace be with you. He was astounded by this encounter with Jesus. I wondered if he thought about the conversation he'd had with Jesus perhaps some months previously when he was in the company of Jesus and he asked the question, how do we know the way? How do we know the way to the Father? And Jesus replied quite clearly, said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this man, Thomas, an ardent follower of Jesus who had been called by him, really was reassured and confirmed without any shadow of doubt whatsoever that this Jesus really was raised from the dead, the Son of God, the one who was to bring salvation to the world. Now we say a bit more about this conversation, which after Pentecost, after Jesus had ascended to heaven and poured out his Spirit, we have this conversation between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I always find this a very interesting story to read. The occasion was probably somewhere on the Gaza Strip of today, somewhere in that part of the country. This man, this Ethiopian, he was a very important man indeed, a very trustworthy person. He was in charge of the treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia, her government called the Kandake. He was a very learned man. He had been to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. And here he was on his way back home, a very long journey, wasn't it, by horse and chariot from the land of Israel right down to Ethiopia. A very long journey. It would even take an overland journey. It would take a number of days, even with modern transport. Perhaps only a few hours in an aeroplane, but it's still a long way overland. And there he was on his way back home, and he had this very interesting conversation with Philip, didn't he? Philip was a man who was chosen by the apostles to go forth and preach. He was chosen because he was a man who was with wisdom and he was full of the Holy Spirit. And the reaction of this encounter which the Ethiopian, this eunuch had when he was in Jerusalem, he was obviously overawed and inspired by the worship in which he'd encountered there in the temple. And he was shown in his reading aloud from the scriptures, was he, when he was on the journey. And along came Philip, and when he heard this man reading, and he was driven by the Spirit, this man, Philip, was driven by the power of the Holy Spirit to go and be alongside this eunuch in his chariots. And he was obedient, and to the promptings of the Spirit, he went to the chariot carrying the eunuch. Obviously, he must have stopped and had a pause on his journey. And Philip was listening to him. He was reading aloud from the prophecy of Isaiah. And then followed a very productive conversation indeed. This man was in need. Yes, he had probably got a good job in charge of the, you know, going back to report to the Queen, no doubt. But he was searching for something meaningful in his life, wasn't he? And Philip said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the eunuch replied, "Well, how can I? Unless someone explains the scriptures to me." Philip had got this way in, this conversation with this eunuch out there on the desert road. He got a way in and he took the opportunity to talk and to explain the scriptures to this man who was obviously taken back from the worship. And the man acknowledged his need to understand, not just a little bit, but he wanted to understand a lot more about what the scriptures really meant to him. So he took the opportunity to invite Philip to journey with him and to discuss the meaning of the scriptures. On this occasion, he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Philip responded to the opportunity to help to this man, and he explained to him that the prophet was referring to the good news about Jesus, what the foretelling of the Isaiah's prophecy. Obviously, it was a long time before Jesus, but was prophesying what God was going to do in his servant through Jesus. And the eunuch was taken back by this particular explanation of the scriptures. And then this eventually led to the eunuch. They stopped by some water, and the eunuch said, "Well, here's some water. What is there to prevent me from being baptized?" And then he became a new person, didn't he? Then they went their separate ways. Philip continued his preaching ministry in the various towns in the area. And the eunuch went on rejoicing. What message was he going to have for the queen when he got back home, maybe some days later? The gospel was spreading, wasn't it? Because Jesus had told his followers, the apostles, to spread the good news to the uttermost parts of the world and drawing others to be involved in the preaching. The gospel was spreading. And it's very interesting for us to note that the church in Ethiopia is one of the earliest churches in the world to be established. Did this have something to do with this conversation which Philip and the eunuch had? My guess is it probably certainly did have something to do with it. We think of these people who had these conversations, like Thomas and like the eunuch. We believe that they were transformed by their conversations, which they had taken the trouble to be involved with. What can we, in this day and age, learn from these conversations? How do we react to help when someone perhaps asks us a searching question? As someone says, where's God in all this trouble in the world around us? We cannot always give an easy answer of why some people live through difficult times and others don't. But we journey on together, don't we, as God's people. In these conversations, there was no evidence of criticism, no evidence of trying to bring anyone down. They just accepted each other as they were. Jesus stays with us, even in the most difficult of times. He helps us in our conversations. It's not always necessary to come out with an intellectual argument and to try to explain the faith we have. We just be the people who God has made us, sharing simply the good news of Jesus and what his saving grace means to us. The church of today, as we've already mentioned earlier, is where we are helped amongst the people of God. We have think about times when, and we've thought, haven't we, about times when we've received and we have offered help. We all share the journey together, being alongside people in today's world. When someone asks for help in many forms, we must respond in whatever way is appropriate, not least by prayer and the explanation of the Bible for today's world. We react in attitude for the many ways in which we are encouraged in our Christian journey. It is the truth about Jesus which is the foundation of the faith which you and I profess to have. We help one another both spiritually and practically through prayers and through actions. We too must be prepared to have a conversation with Jesus where we can also express our feelings and listen and pray for wisdom. Allow ourselves to be drawn closer and closer through our meetings, through our encounters, of the way in which God speaks to us through his words. What happens on our journey? We all make ordinary daily routines, don't we, in all various journeys in the course of our lives. Sometimes alone, sometimes together. But we're always alongside other people making the same journey. And when we're making journeys, we converse about all sorts of things, like the weather, what's going to be on for tomorrow's dinner. We talk about the sights and surround us. We express our feelings. We learn from one another's experiences. We need to pause for refreshment. Do we talk about the things of God on our daily journey? Sharing our own spiritual insights. Sharing our feelings. We recognize one another's concerns, support one another, and care for one another. We have this deep down eternal peace and the new hope which we have through our encounters with Jesus broadens our view and gives us a deep down joy which can be a strengthening experience for us all. We continue to stand in awe of the presence of Jesus around us. Be honest in our reactions. Receive his teaching with gratitude and be absorbed into his purposes. And we too can go on our way with that deep down sustaining presence of God, which gives us strength and refreshment and renewed hope for the world in which God has placed us. Let us pray.